Thank you so much for joining me today on Just Praise Him Radio. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and my job is to inspire you to a closer walk with Christ. Now here's the show.
Hello, believers. Welcome to the Just Praise Him Radio Show. I'm your host, Glenda Lomax, and the title of my message today is Dealing with Anger. This is not the show that I had for you. I was actually working on a different podcast all week, and I got it about halfway done, and the Lord let me know this morning in prayer that this was the show He wanted. So, here we are. Have you ever met somebody that was just angry all the time? They just seemed to be angry at life. They were angry at this person, angry at that person, just everybody and everything made them angry. I've known some people like that over the years. I cannot say I understand it because I don't. But we're going to talk about some of this. There's a story about an actor who was playing the part of Christ in a passion play. As he carried the cross up the hill, a tourist began to heckle him and make fun of him and shouted insults at him. Finally, the actor had taken all of it he could take. He threw down the cross, walked over to the tourist, and punched him in the face. After the play was over, the director told him, "Look, I know he was a pest, but I cannot condone what you did. Besides, you're playing the part of Jesus, and Jesus never retaliated. So don't be doing that again." The actor promised he'd control his temper and that he wouldn't do it. It wouldn't happen again. But the next day, the heckler was back, worse than before. He held out longer than before, but finally, he exploded and punched him out again. The director said, "That's it. I have to fire you. We can't have you behaving this way while playing the part of Jesus." And the actor begged, "Please give me one more chance. I really need this job, and I can handle it if it happens again." So the director decided to give him one more chance. The next day, he was carrying the cross up the street again. And sure enough, the heckler was there again. And you could tell that the actor was really trying to control himself. He was clenching his fist and grinding his teeth. Finally, he put down the cross, walked over to the heckler, and said, "I'll meet you after the resurrection." I'm going to read you two verses from the first chapter of James. "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God." Well, we know that's right, don't we? Not only does our anger not produce the righteousness of God, it does not produce the witness of Jesus. And that makes it an incredibly dangerous thing for us to walk in, especially in these times when we're trying to witness to as many people as we can, because y'all, the world is out of time, and America especially is out of time. So why does man's anger not produce the righteousness of God? Well, Proverbs 15:18 says, "A wrathful man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger allays contention." Now, strife means arguing and fighting and basically not getting along. If you've ever met a couple or two people who just fought all the time, they're always angry, they're always fighting, that's strife. Strife is the doorway to every other evil work, every evil work. If you have strife in the home, if you have strife in your marriage, you will have all kinds of problems going on with your kids. Because strife opens the doorway to all those other demonic influences to come into your house and live. What do people who stir up strife do? People that are very angry, what do? They talk ugly to people. They're rude. They insult people. They put people down. They degrade them. They're usually prideful. They're impatient. They're insulting. Proverbs 14:17 says, "A quick-tempered man acts foolishly, and a man of wicked intentions is hated." Anytime we act out of anger, you can be pretty sure we're going to make a mistake, right? Because wisdom would tell you to be prudent, be cautious, take your time, don't speak out of turn, don't just unload your mind. There's another verse in the Bible, I can't recall the chapter and verse right now, but it says that a fool will speak all his mind. And there's another one that says anger rests in the bosom of fools. We don't want to be a fool, do we? Your anger will make a fool out of you. Ephesians 4:31 says, As Christians, we need to get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, and every form of malice. If we're Christian, we should not be acting like that. We're supposed to be walking in love, not anger, not hostility, not hatefulness, not being insulting and degrading. Proverbs 25:28, I love the book of Proverbs. Y'all, there's 31 chapters in Proverbs. You can read one every day of the month. Proverbs is a wisdom book, and there is a lot of wisdom in there. If you read the book of Proverbs often and heed the wisdom in there, you'll make good decisions a lot of the time. Proverbs 25:28 says, like a city whose walls are broken down is a man who lacks self-control. And that's what happens when someone loses their temper. It means they lost all their self-control, doesn't it? I like the New King James Version of Proverbs 25:28 better. Whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. What happens if you don't have walls? The enemies can come in, right? If you're always losing your temper, if you're always being angry and being, you know, mean to people and insulting, guess what? You swung the gate wide open to the enemy to come into your life and bring all his demons and his minions with him. That's not a wise choice, y'all, I'm telling you. Those demons come in a lot easier than they go out. Can I just say that? So let's start talking about ways that we can deal with anger. One, Colossians 3:8 says, put all that stuff off. The anger, the rage, the malice, the slander, the filthy language, put them off. That means just quit doing it. Quit. Stop doing it. And how you stop doing something is when the thought comes to you, your emotions start rising up and you're getting angry and you're just like, I'm just going to tell them off. I'm going to blah, 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 you know. You know how the little conversation goes on in your head like that. Cast that thought down and replace it with the scripture. You could say, I cast that thought down in Jesus' mighty name. Anger rests in the bosom of fools, and I am no fool. So I'm gonna just be kind and be nice to that person. I'm not going to be like that. Another way you can help your anger issues is scripture says, be angry and sin not, and not to let the sun go down on your anger. So if you're angry in the evening, it's time to, you know, go into prayer and let that thing go. Confess some scriptures, do whatever you got to do, get in the word, do some worship, whatever works for you to bring the peace back and drive the anger out. Do that. It is not okay to be a Christian and walk around angry all the time. And if you have been angry for a long time, you need to look for the root cause. What are you so angry about? Why are you angry all the time? Because that's not a normal state of mind. We were not created to be angry all the time. It makes your blood pressure go up, and it's horrible stress on your body and your system. It affects your immune system. It affects everything. And it steals your joy. Y'all remember I just did a podcast where I talked about a Nigerian pastor who was really angry at his wife. They had had an argument the night before and she had slapped him. And he's driving through town and he's really angry and he's thinking about that and he's kind of just fuming. You know, and I mean, we've all probably had an anger problem at some point where we were angry at somebody. We just walked around fuming. I definitely have. I used to do that all the time. And I don't even know why I did it because there's no joy in it. Anyway, so he's driving through town in his car, and he has an accident, and he dies. He dies, and his soul is taken to heaven where he has this conversation with an angel. And the angel told him at one point, he said, you know, he showed him hell, and he said, if the book of your life was closed today, this would be your portion. Can I just tell y'all that ain't nobody and no anything they could have done to you is not worth going to hell for? Can I just tell you that? Do y'all remember me telling you, this was earlier this year, I believe, when I had that experience where my spirit was taken someplace down below that I believe was hell? I didn't see the devil or demons, but I believe it was hell. When it stopped, and I had no control over where it was being taken or anything, it was just taken. And when it stopped, I was in front of a very dark cave. I was in a dark place. And in the cave were things I did not like. And I felt like the cave had been prepared for me. And that was bad enough. And I had no thoughts about Jesus or God or anything down there. You can't even think about that. But I'll tell you what you do think about. Because it has haunted me every day since. as I stood there looking into that cave. I had the most intense longing for the people that I loved that I knew were still up on the earth. And I was so afraid because I knew that I did not know the way back through the darkness to get back to where they were. And I knew they could never find where I'd been taken because it was a long ways down. And that longing is a million times worse when you are down there than it is up here. I mean, you can miss your family, and I miss my family all the time because I don't live near them. And I've missed them for years, but I have to go where God requires me to go. And that's a sacrifice that sometimes you have to sacrifice something to do the will of God. And I will sacrifice whatever I need to sacrifice to do His will because that's my job. And as I stood there, and I missed them so much, and I longed for them. It's the separation from all that is good is the worst torment when you're down there. You're separated from everything that's good. There's nothing but bad there. You have no control over anything that's happening to you. You cannot come out of there and come back up here. You can't go anywhere. You have no control. All that's taken from you. And I will never, as long as I live, to my last breath, I will remember that experience and that longing that I felt. If I had had to feel it for even 5 minutes, it would have been an unbelievable torment. I don't want any of y'all to go there. I don't want any of y'all to go there. I want all of y'all to be in heaven so we can all meet and walk the streets of gold and drink coffee together and do whatever they do up in heaven. I don't want any of y'all to go to that terrible place that I visited and feel that awful sadness. Please hear me. I'm trying to help you. I want all of us to go to heaven. Whenever you become very angry, and even if just in your thoughts, in your mind, you are sinning, okay? You're thinking bad thoughts about the person you're angry about, that's sin, okay? We have to stop ourselves at that point. Even though it doesn't come out in our actions, even though you don't drive across town and beat their face down into a concrete parking lot, you're still sinning if you're thinking about it, okay? All right, so we want to get to the point where we're not sinning even our thoughts. Okay? It takes discipline. You have to work on it. And let's also remember that in order to get into heaven, your sins have to be forgiven. If you die with unforgiveness, like that pastor from Nigeria, like the angel told him, if you die in a state of unforgiveness towards any person, you will not be saved. Because if you don't forgive them, you're not forgiven. And you cannot get into heaven if your sins are not forgiven. This is serious, y'all. This is very, very serious. This is not a small thing. It's a very big thing because Jesus died for us. He also died for the people that you're mad at. Can I just tell you that? He loves them just as much as He loves you, and He wants them to be saved far worse than we can ever imagine. And He does not want us thinking ugly things about Him. And a third way that you can control your anger, this is my favorite way right here. Proverbs 15 verse 1 says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. A soft answer turns away wrath. I'm going to tell y'all a funny story in a minute. This is a true story. Ordinarily, if someone gets angry at you, they, you know, might raise their voice or start screaming at you or whatever. But if you will keep your voice soft and even-toned and be calm, it helps a lot to smooth out situations that you encounter, okay? So I have to tell y'all this story. This shows y'all just how flawed I am, but I don't mind you seeing that. This was, I believe, back in the springtime. I can't remember for sure when it was. And I was trying to reach some customer service department on something that I had ordered or bought or something that wasn't working. And do y'all hate phone trees? I hate phone trees. If you would like the accounting department, please press 1. If you would like to talk to, you know, blah, 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 please push, you know, and then you go through all of those and you press it and half the time the system cuts you off and just drops your call. And I was trying to get through a phone call, and I think it was CenturyTel Link, if I remember right, the former internet service where I live, which is not a preferred provider, let's just say. I had so much trouble with that service. And so it was one of those times that I was having to call, and their phone tree was a nightmare. And any of you have had that service, I know you're shaking your head yes right now because you've dealt with it. And so here I am, and I'm already having kind of a rough day. I remember this was a day when things were not going well. Things were just going wrong. I don't remember what all they were, but you know, you have those days when things are just not going like they're supposed to go. So I'm having one of those days, and I have to call this company, which makes it far, far worse. That's enough to ruin an entire day for me. And I'm in there with the phone tree. I think it was when the internet went out for 5 days. It was out for 5 days straight, and I was trying to tell them it was out and that I wanted a credit for the 5 days, which, by the way, I never got. So I've had to call back 2 or 3 times. I'm on hold with the phone tree again, and the phone tree is like, blah, 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 you know, whatever. And it, at one point, I think it cut me off the time before. After I was on hold for 20 minutes, it just hangs up on me. And I'm like, really? And so I have to turn around and do the whole thing again and listen to the stupid phone tree. So I'm on hold again. And this time I'm really angry at the phone tree. So I'm talking to the phone tree, and not very nice either. Not that I say bad words, because I don't. But I was not talking very nice to it. And I'm like, who is the joke that, you know, designed this phone tree? It's a moron. The phone tree is a complete, you know, and I'm just going on and on. And then somebody picks up the phone and goes, hello, this is whoever, you know, can I help you? And I was like, oh, hello, good morning. And I'm just screaming at the phone tree right before that. And I'm like, oh, thank God I heard her say hello. Y'all, I felt so bad, but I don't think she heard any of that. At least I hope she didn't, for her sake, because she sounded too young and innocent to hear me griping at the phone tree. My mother, when she was 87 years old, the last year of her life, she would still talk about this, too. My mother hated phone recordings. Y'all remember, and you younger people probably won't remember this, but we used to only have landline phones and not cellular phones. So, of course, mother never had a cell phone. So when you call on a landline phone and the phone gets disconnected, the recording would come on and say, if you would like to make a call, please hang up and dial again. My mother would fight with that recording. She would fight with it every day when it did that. She would fight with it, and it was so funny. And you could not tell her that that was not a real person. She told that recording off I don't know how many times. I wish so bad that I had that on video, because it was hysterical. It was so funny. So Mom was probably proud of me when I told off the phone tree. She's up in heaven watching. So I'm going to read you this story. There was a story of a family who were angry about everything. It seemed like their house was a war zone every day, with yelling and screaming being, you know, the natural way that they lived. One day they decided to go to church. They were so moved by what they experienced, they came back week after week and eventually became Christians. But they still yelled and screamed at each other at home. Realizing this wasn't healthy, they went to the preacher asking if he could help. He scheduled a time for counseling with them, and they sat down in a classroom with a long table. Given the enormity of their problem, the preacher began to ask probing questions to see if he could get a handle on the issue. It seemed that the family was in a constant state of conflict, with everyone mad at everyone else. The dad would get mad at the wife for burning the food or nagging him all the time or questioning his time being out with his friends. She was angry at him for throwing his clothes down in the middle of the floor and not helping around the house. The kids would be angry with each other over various things. One daughter was mad at her sister because her sister would borrow her dresses without permission and then just throw the dress down on the bed. The situation was so tangled and laced with anger that the preacher wasn't sure what to tell them. So he prayed. Then it was like a light bulb went on in his brain. He passed out pens and blank papers to each of the family and asked them to write down everything they could think of that made them angry with their other family members. For the next few minutes, everyone wrote furiously on their paper. Then the preacher said, "Everything you wrote represents a right. The husband thinks he has a right not to be nagged. The wife believes she has a right to have him pick up after himself. The sister thinks she has a right to have her sister not only asked to borrow a dress, but to hang it up when she's finished. Once you become Christians, you made Jesus the Lord of your life. That meant you turned over all of your rights to Him. You don't have any rights any longer. But you have not learned how to give those rights to Him completely. So what we're going to do is pretend that the center of this table is an altar to God, and we're going to put your rights that you wrote down on your papers onto the altar and offer them back to God. That's easier said than done, because you've spent a lifetime building your sense of entitlement in life, And you're not going to unlearn that attitude in a single day. So what we're going to do is you're going to have daily meetings at the dining room table and ask around the table if anyone has gotten angry at someone else that day. And you'll talk about how those rights need to be resubmitted to God all over again. Next week, we'll get together and talk about what happened at your family meetings. It took a few weeks, but before long, the family changed their attitudes. The daughter recalled a day when she saw one of her dresses crumpled up on the bed, and she picked it up, thanked God for her sister, and rehung the dress in her closet. The father came home to a meal that had been burned, told his wife that he loved her, that he was so grateful she committed to cooking the meals for the family. The wife told of seeing her husband's clothing thrown on the floor, picking them up and putting them in the hamper, and thanking God she had a husband who supplied for the family. In time, warfare was replaced with kindness and peace. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but I have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. It does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. I want y'all to think about that this week. If you struggle with anger often, you need to ask yourself, who am I really angry at? Remember that a soft answer turns away wrath. Think about who or what wounded you so deeply that you feel the need to erect a wall of anger to keep everyone at arm's length and to stay angry all the time. And we need to go before the Lord remembering that everyone we are angry at was also created by Him, and that He loves them just as much as He loves us, and we need to repent. And then we need to forsake that sin of being angry and thinking ugly thoughts or saying ugly words. And we need to ask the Lord for help, and then we need to refuse those thoughts and not do that sin anymore. Can I just tell you that? We do not want to die with unforgiveness. Y'all, we don't have any time left to play. We are staring down the barrel at the end. Everything could be gone tomorrow. We could be taken tonight. We don't know the day or the hour, okay? We don't know. I mean, you could be taken from this life. You could get up and get in your car tomorrow to go to work and never make it to work or never make it home. You know, I could have a stroke in my sleep, another one, and the next one could kill me. We could have a heart attack. I mean, there's so many different ways you can be taken anymore. The next plague could break out and you might be a person who walks through the mist, you know, whatever it is that's released. You don't know how long you have. Don't play with your salvation. Do not play with this. It's not worth it to entertain. You know, you feel like you're justified being angry. But if God has forgiven you, then you have to forgive everybody else. That's the rule. The rules are the same for everybody. When somebody upsets us, we can, you know, the Bible says if you have aught against somebody, go to them and talk about it. If it's a situation where you can do that, you should do that. There are some people that you can't really just go to and talk to. But, you know, if they're violent or something like that. But if you can, that is the best way to approach that. Because you can work it out a lot of times if you try. And you can save a lot of friendships and relationships that way if you're willing to approach the problem head on and not be afraid. I mean, what is there to fear? They're not going to take away your birthday. It either works out or it don't. But whatever happens, don't get angry and stay angry, and don't sin if you're angry. And then you are responsible for what you do with that anger after that. If you work it out or you don't work it out or what. And the truth is, y'all, a lot of people will hurt us and they just don't care. Can I just tell you that? They don't care if they hurt us. They don't want to work it out because they don't care. They could care less about us. We're nobody to them. That is the way the world is now. There are so many people that are just so uncaring. They don't care about anybody but themselves. That is what it is. You can't fix that. So what I'm saying is work it out if you can work it out. If not, you still have to work it out in your heart, and you still have to get rid of the sinful thoughts out of your mind if you want to go to heaven. Okay? So I want y'all to think about that this week and work on the anger issues if you have them. There's a woman listening to this, and you have a friend who's another middle-aged woman who has a daughter that's about teenage that she's very concerned about. Now, when I see the teenage daughter in the spirit, I see a female, and then I see the shadow of a male. So I think there's some gender confusion there, but I'm not sure. The Lord said that He wants you to tell this other woman about this ministry, because she's going to listen to it when you do. She's really worried about the daughter. She's going to listen to it, and the daughter is going to overhear it. And He said that the daughter has no one else that can speak into her life, that can give her a word. But apparently the mom is going to be listening to it, and the daughter's going to hear it, and she's actually going to get saved because of it. So the Lord wants you to tell the other woman that you know that has this daughter about the JPH ministry, and just like get her to listen or something. It's going to make a really, really big difference. The mother is going to be greatly helped by this and very comforted, because she has been praying really hard for her daughter, and this will show her that God has heard her and is answering. That's all I have for y'all tonight. Jesus bless you. Thanks for listening. Y'all have a great weekend. Stay safe and well out there.
Thank you so much for tuning in today to Just Praise Him Radio. You can contact me by mail at my new address, JPH Inc., Glenda Lomax, P.O. Box 60, Glencoe, Arkansas 72539, or by email at jphtoday@gmail.com. JPH is not affiliated with any nonprofit organization, church, or denomination.
Have you ever gone through a time in your life where suddenly it just felt like your whole life was falling apart? I call these experiences the wilderness experiences. Wilderness experiences are a time of great uncertainty and change. There are times when our faith is tried and refined. After many experiences, the Lord spoke to me to write The Wilderness Companion, which is a virtual roadmap through the desert times of your life. Find out why you've been led to the wilderness. Find out what the biggest hindrance is to receiving provision in the wilderness. Find out what the seven temptations of the wilderness are. Drastically cut the time you spend in the wilderness by learning how to partner with the Lord instead of working against Him. Every Christian needs to read The Wilderness Companion. It's by Glenda Lomax, and it's available on Amazon.com or wingsofprophecy.com. Amazon.com, The Wilderness Companion by Glenda Lomax.
If you ask anyone you know what the most difficult experience of their life has been, many will answer about a time of betrayal. All those called to walk the narrow path will at some point encounter Judas. How will you respond? Do you know how to recognize Judas when he shows up in your life? Can you keep Judas from bringing destruction to your life and ministry? How can you minimize what Judas cost you? Can you pass the test of absolute betrayal? Get your copy of The Judas Test, available in print, and new audiobook, The Judas Test by Glenda Lomax, available now on Amazon.com.
Sold out for 30 pieces of silver? In Exodus 21:32, it is the price of a dead slave. In Leviticus 27:2-7, it is the price of a live one. Jesus was sold for the price of a bondservant. Precious Jesus, the Son of God, the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings? Why did Judas sell his friend out so cheap?
Sidewalk Flowers Volume 1 is a collection of 58 short inspirational readings that will uplift, comfort, and encourage readers from every walk of life. Sidewalk Flowers includes inspirational tales and topics taken from the lives of everyday people who exhibited extraordinary wisdom, kindness, and courage while traveling the sidewalks of life. Get your copy of Sidewalk Flowers Volume 1 today, available in print and new audiobook. Sidewalk Flowers Volume 1 by Glenda Lomax, available on Amazon.com in print or new audiobook.
There is no one on earth who has not been wronged at some time in their life. Everyone has a story to tell. Everyone has been hurt by someone. The pain you have suffered does not make you special. It is what you do with that pain that sets you apart. Life can make you bitter or it can make you better. You choose. The only difference between the two is the I.